Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back, everyone. Yeah, that's a long intro, but I don't mind because, it gives you a chance to grab that last second coffee before you jump down and enjoy the show. Welcome back. Another wild weekend of college football. There were some upsets. There were some great games, and there were some pretenders exposed. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, you can still just call us Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Triggered Joe is calling from the home of the Big House. How we doing, guys? Interesting weekend this weekend. I was watching football on my phone because I was traveling, but did watch quite a few games. Joe, how did you do? Because I know Dano was out and about this weekend.
Unfortunately, I started my Saturday of college football off by watching CJ Carr and Jeremiah Love do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, to the Arkansas defense, and as Notre Dame routed Arkansas. I also caught glimpses of Superman Haynes King and Georgia Tech coming back to win in overtime against Wake. Watched some of Indiana and their struggle with Iowa needing a 70-yard bomb to win with like 2 minutes to go. Tennessee and Mississippi State had a thriller. Illinois and USC had a thriller. Bama, Georgia goes down to the wire. I think the hype on this weekend slate delivered, and I don't think I've watched more just absolutely gripping fourth quarter college football in recent memory. It was one of my favorite weeks of all time. Yeah. It was great. A non-Michigan week too, so I didn't have a chance to get like overly stressed or hyped or have my Saturday like feel like a gut punch after Michigan loses or something. So when Michigan doesn't play, it's kind of like a free-for-all. So, and it was a great week.
Yeah, sounds good. Dana, how about you?
Yeah, man, we went to the county fair. And I saw a 2,000-pound pumpkin, actually 2,200 pounds, which is easily the biggest pumpkin I've ever seen in my life. But I did not really catch any college football, which made me sad, especially because it looked like such an amazing slate. Did see the Army game, obviously. Jesus, what a debacle that was. Yeah, man, I'm a little under the weather. So I did get to see Styx perform at the county fair, which is a little odd that they played the county fair, but what can you do? Yeah. Here we are.
That's interesting. I would say that's a solid act for a county fair. I did go to Pumpkin Fest in my hometown, trying to hunt down a pumpkin to beat yours. Could not find one. I found some, but they weren't anywhere close to that kind of poundage. but I didn't even mention Florida State, Virginia on Friday night. And Oregon, Penn State.
Yeah. I mean, Virginia with the big win.
Crazy games.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm thinking, like, I don't think we've seen this many overtime games in a while. I think there's probably
many winners.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more parity now, maybe. And maybe that's because, with the transfer portal and things are starting to balance out, maybe we're starting to see these teams get a little bit closer in alignment because, like, there are a lot of overtime games. Like, it's like every other game is overtime, it seems like, over the weekend. Or it's like razor's edge close and somebody's coming out pooching a last second field goal or something like that. But for me, I'm just happy to be here. All the traveling that I've been doing, I'm actually home in my my office for once. Thursday night was bad, man. We haven't seen Army look that bad since, like, year two of Munkin. And so, I don't know if it's a coaching thing. I don't know if it's a playing thing, but I think we're starting to see, the embarrassment of riches starting to catch up with us, maybe.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is, and the commentators actually said it on ESPN, like, Army has not gotten a break in the review booth or on the field. Is like, when there's a questionable call at all. Like, even in the North Texas game, there's one of those interceptions where clearly they showed the replay over and over again of the defensive back pushing the receiver down. And there was no flag. And guess what? When you win the conference your first year, you're not going to get those breaks. And so I think that is part of it as well. But you still got to execute, between the whistles. I also watched Virginia make their case for ACC championship as they take down Florida State, which Florida State was looking pretty untouchable up until that point. And then again, why am I even saying this? We're watching James Franklin lose to a higher ranked Big Ten team. Like, you know, like if they're in the top 10, like you can write it off. You can cash that check before the game even starts.
I can James tell Franklin you why you're saying this, but I'll wait.
but like that's just the games we watch. But speaking of people that are always going to get it done for you, we have a realtor here, and it is Jocelyn Bradley. So if you listen to this show at all in your PCS into the Fort Bragg area or anywhere in the country, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There she discovered a passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn also has an extensive network of veteran realtors that can support you anywhere in the country. So, hey, she should be your first call if you're moving. Talk to her. Jocelyn's decided to support Astro Football again this season, and we thank her for that, but she can help you get into the home of your dreams. She makes recommendations. If you need something, just go click on her business card, and then you will be able to talk to her, and she can point you in the right direction and get you on to your way to move. Dano, if you don't mind, can you take the Service Academy standings?
Yeah, well, as we said, Army is now 1-3, having lost their second game in a row, this time to at East Carolina down in Greenville this past Thursday. Oh, man, the Black Knights just do not look good. They can't stop the run. They can't run the ball. They're steady turning it over. Just not good at all. They do have a kind of favorable matchup this week against UAB, but it's a second road game in a row, and I wouldn't call it a layup because UAB at least has a decent offense. Yeah. Navy is 4-0, having beaten Rice this past week. They made second-half adjustments and got in the driver's seat in the American. They take on Air Force this week for the first leg of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy Series, and Air Force is now 1-3 heading into this week's matchup with Navy. They lost to Hawaii. Mids are favored by about 11 in that one. It's a Service Academy matchup. Rob says bet the under, but I don't know, man. Air Force defense is not good, and these mids are very good. And that game is not like the Army-Navy game. They sometimes tend to score a few points. And then outside the FBS, this Coast Guard Academy is 3-1 after taking out WPI at their place this weekend, looking to extend their record as they go to take on SUNY Maritime. That's a big game. And the Merchant Marine Academy remained undefeated after blanking Norwich with a final score of 49-0. Mariners have MIT this week at home, and they'll be honoring first responders and the Kings Point community. That's also a big game.
Yeah, that's cool. So, and speaking of big games, or people that had a big game, or let's talk about people that didn't have a big game and then talk about the person that had a big game. Over to Joe for his awards of the week. What do you got, Joe?
Oh, yeah. This week's Blue Falcon is unfortunately a returning guest. We've heard several monikers to describe this man over the years, Small Game James being one of my personal favorites. But over the weekend, James Franklin took his ferocious Nittany Lions and squared off with the number 3 Oregon Ducks. Game was a whiteout. It undoubtedly had all the eyes of America on it. And for the 22nd time in 26 attempts, he lost to a top 10 team. That's right. James Franklin's record against top 10 teams is now 4-22. I remember when Penn State came to the Big Ten and they were a frightening team. They were a team you were worried about every single year. They were an institution and a blue blood in college football. The alumni, the boosters, Penn State faithful, and quite frankly, sort of the rest of us expect Penn State to be automatically good with the possibility of being great every year. That's why the job pays what it does. So I'm sorry, but this level of success against top 10 competition is beneath the Penn State I knew's normal standards. And for that reason, I'm giving James Franklin his second Blue Falcon of the Week award as I fumble with the same. But the hold my beer moment was a little more difficult to pick, not because of lack of people. This week, I could have given it to half a dozen players or moments. There were so many thrillers, overtime games, road upsets, game-winning field goals. I mean, I certainly had my lot to pick from, but I did eventually settle on one, and it was because of how profound the moment was and as it pertains to the game and how profound it was to how needed it was by his team. I'll set the stage. It's overtime between Oregon and Penn State on Saturday night. And what has pretty much been a tight defensive game that looked like Oregon was going to win until Penn State scored with 30 seconds left. Oregon starts with the ball, more than 100,000 people riled up and screaming against them, and all the pressure in overtime. They go down and score anyways, but failed to convert the extra points. 30-24 Oregon, Penn State has the ball, and if they score a touchdown, all they need is the extra point, and the game is over. And that's when Junior defensive back Dylan Thieneman of Westfield, Indiana said, hold my beer, watch this, and went airborne and snagged a game-ending interception with one hand to silence the crowd, ice the game, and get the hell out of Dodge with the victory. So Dylan Thieneman, you shouldn't have to buy a beer in Eugene, Oregon ever for that moment alone, and you definitely are this week's hold my beer moment in college football.
Yeah, that was an interesting finish to the game. I mean, typically, you know, again, you don't want to leave it on the foot of your kicker, but if you can't get the ball in the end zone, that pretty much ends it. And this has been interesting, man. Like, you know, everybody started talking about, like, where's the Drew Aller talk now? You know, they were talking about him all offseason, like, oh, he's, you know, I think the shine is starting to come off the apple. And one of the two things are true, and maybe they're both true at the same time. Maybe sports analysts are overhyping players because they're in the tank for respective teams or conferences. But the other part of it is like a lot of these kids are not performing to the expectations, which is weird. But like, if you go back to last season, you know, Drew Aller threw a pick on a 50-50 ball that he didn't have to throw, you know, and they were leading and he tosses it up there, gets intercepted, and it cost him the game last year. And that was against, I believe it was against Ohio State last year. And so it's like, hey man, what are you doing? You know, so I think he's got a lot of potential. I think James Franklin has probably peaked. Right now, I think that playoff appearance last year was probably the best that he's going to do, because there's too much depth in the Big Ten for Penn State to consistently be the B-plus team, right? I mean, yeah. Every well, these time.
They're too smart now, too. You know, they're watching kids from Ohio State go and be highly paid pros. And they're what, you know, they're like, oh, if they stop buying your brand,
yeah,
and they start passing that through the camps and all of these things, like, hey, don't go to Penn State, that's word of mouth amongst all the top recruits. And if you start getting like a couple of bad apples saying, hey, Penn State's not the place anymore, that's all it takes anymore, you know, yeah, to knock your recruiting back a couple of classes.
Yeah,
kind of like Cade Klubnik. Where is the talk about him?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And again, I think there's a lot of guys. And unfortunately, and you know, we can have this conversation much, much deeper and longer about the Heisman. But I think a lot of sports writers still have that hang up that the Heisman has to go to an offensive player or it has to go to a quarterback. And, you know, every time we deviate from that storyline, people get upset, you know, but, yeah. And I'll leave it with that, but let's move on to this week's top 10. What you got, Joe?
All right. So moving and shaking this week, not at number one though. We got Ohio State at number one, no change. The Buckeyes hold down the number one spot with a convincing 24-6 road victory at Washington. They will host Minnesota on Saturday, where they are 24.5-point favorites. At number two, we have the Oregon Ducks jumping up four spots with a thrilling road victory at Penn State in double OT, 30-24. Oregon will enjoy a much-needed week off on Saturday. Then they get to play Indiana at home on the 11th. At number three, we got the Miami Hurricanes. They had to drop down one spot to make room for Oregon in their week off. Miami travels to Tallahassee to take on Florida State on Saturday. Miami's a 4.5-point favorite. And the biggest mover at number four, we got Ole Miss up nine spots. The Rebels make the biggest leap this week after an amazing 24-19 victory over LSU on Saturday, and with an incredible 4th-and-3 call by Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss is off on Saturday and will play Washington State on the 11th. At number five, we got Oklahoma. The Sooners bump up two spots in their week off, and it was the best news they had all week. As in other news, their Heisman candidate quarterback broke a bone in his throwing hand and will be out for probably a month and miss the Red River Shootout with Texas. I won't call it the rivalry. Thankfully for Oklahoma, they have Kent State on Saturday, where they're a 45.5-point favorite. Number six, we got the Aggies of Texas A&M creeping up three spots with a solid 16-10 victory over Auburn on Saturday. A&M will play Mississippi State on Saturday, where they will be 14.5-point favorites. Don't be fooled by that. Look at the game Mississippi State just gave Tennessee. At number seven, we got Penn State dropping down four spots with easily the biggest heartbreaker of the week in double OT, coming up short against Oregon. They will have to recover quickly as they travel to UCLA on Saturday, where they are 26.5-point road favorites. At number eight, we have the Indiana Hoosiers jumping up three spots after a hard-fought 20-15 win on the road against Iowa. Indiana has a well-timed week off before they travel to Oregon. And number nine, we have the Texas Longhorns. They bump up one spot on their week off and travel to play Florida in the Swamp Saturday, where they're a 7.5-point favorite. And at number 10, they just won't go away. The Alabama Crimson Tide goes up seven spots as they win a thriller between the hedges with Georgia 24-21. Alabama can make another statement by covering against a very good Vanderbilt team on Saturday, where they're 10.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, that, wow. I didn't expect to see six top 25 losses this season that quickly. You know, that 10 spot typically rotates in and out, but like I think Bama made their case. You know, and typically we always talk about it. Georgia plays with their food. So like the first half, it's too close for comfort. In the second half, they kind of pull it out. And Bama wasn't hearing that this time. So Bama'd for the first time in a high, you know, in a high pressure game this week. You know, top 25 losses this week, got 21 total for the season. You know, we already talked about Penn State. Is that surprising? Not really. Virginia dropping FSU was a great game. I think that was probably one of the most impressive ones of the weekend.
For real.
ASU beat TCU by a field goal. LSU got rolled by Ole Miss, as previously stated. And like, I mean, there was much wailing and gnashing of teeth of Georgia fans after that loss. I saw a lot of people that were like, hey, F it, man. I'm watching soccer from here on out because, you know, college football is just not worth it anymore.
This is why it was so hard for the SEC to win the national championship back when every game really mattered. And you only took, I don't even say the top four, but especially during the BCS when you really had to take the top two, it was very difficult because, you know, Tennessee could beat Georgia could beat Alabama, and then Alabama could beat Tennessee, and it's like, okay, now what?
Yeah. I mean, that's always been the case with the SEC, the SEC fratricide, right? They pick each other off, and so, you know, to overcompensate for that, what do they do next year? They're adding an additional conference game to, you know, force every other division of college football to say, hey, look, you know, we have just as stiff as competition as the SEC to give them, you know, the final nod when it comes down to, you know, the shrink the schedule test. And then finally, you know, the last top 25 loss was freaking Illinois beating USC. Like, we're gonna talk about early season firings anyway, but why is Lincoln Riley still a coach, right? Like, I understand that guy's like very, very talented. He's like a coordinator that is masquerading as a coach. And I know we've said that before, and there's quite a few of them in college football, but like, dude, like, you lost to Illinois. It's the Fighting Illini, and you're supposed to be like this world beater. And I think the only thing that probably has saved Lincoln Riley to this point was the fact that Caleb Williams won the Heisman Trophy a couple years ago, because other than that, I'm not seeing it. But let's talk about it. That's the topic for this week. So, you know, we've had some early season firings. Like, typically coaches don't make it, like, you haven't seen this many coaches get fired this early in the season in a while. And so you're wondering, like, hey, look, you know, is there something going on? Is there, you know, just a uniqueness of college football? But like, you know, I can completely understand Mike Gundy getting fired. You know, he's been at Oklahoma State for almost 20 years, you know, so you've been for 20 seasons, and like, you've had a, not just a bad season, you've had a few bad seasons. And so now it's time for, you know, them to move on. But do we think some of these guys are getting booted too early? Or do you think, you know, they should give them at least like that third year to get through like a decent size recruiting class? Or do we just pull the trigger on it early? We'll go to Dan to save your voice. I'll let you go first, and then we'll pass it over to Joe.
So I don't think – I can't think of any of the guys who've been fired so far that I thought didn't need to get fired. My personal opinion is that if you're going to make a change and you know it, you might as well just embrace it and start moving forward, understanding this season is done. You know, we're going to flush it and try to reboot this thing as fast as we can and hope that your interim, you know, head coach can pull things together. For example, former UCLA coach Deshaun Foster, like, that was a terrible team, absolutely underperforming. What are you going to do? That was just a dumpster fire. In general, though, I think college football has just changed a lot with NIL and the transfer portal, and some of these guys can adapt to the change and some can't, and here we are.
Joe, what about you?
You know, I hate to be the cliche guy that says this, but Dano really took the words out of my mouth with the guys not adapting to NIL. I mean, for crying out loud, who of the last 20 years, who would you say the best coach in college football has been on average for two decades? I mean, I would go Saban.
Yeah.
He literally retired because NIL. And we said it years ago on the show that college football is going to look nothing like it did 5 years from now. And the coaches that don't adapt to that are going to, I mean, I think honestly, Clemson's going to eventually move away from Dabo.
Yeah.
That, or you're going to start being a meme, because you can't keep doing the same thing and saying, yeah, we're going to rest on our laurels and just keep recruiting. And it's like, Michigan's got one of the richest men in the world whose wife says, I want that player. And he goes out and buys Bryce Underwood. I mean, if you don't have a person like that at your disposal, then you better start adapting with going after high stakes talent and kids that people will pay for. Because I mean, that's what it takes nowadays. Yeah. And if you don't have that kind of pull with NIL and you can't do that kind of stuff, I didn't really understand the whole need to win at UCLA all of a sudden with Deshaun Foster, because when was the last time they were a powerhouse?
Yeah.
But, you know, if he had lost the locker room and there was other things going on, I understand guys like Mel Tucker being a one and done. He didn't really do himself any favors. But, yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that college football is ever evolving, because they're in a very new process of facelifting the entirety of the way it's done, of the way players and institutions interact with each other professionally and financially. It's completely different. So if you're not going to adapt to that, you're going to be left behind, especially if your university depends on winning. So, I mean, it's tough to say, because it's like, if guys don't want to adapt to it, you'll see it in the recruiting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to use the example. Look at Brent Fry at Virginia Tech. Like, the guy is in his fourth, you know, is going into his fifth season, I believe. So, like, if you've been there for 4 years, like, you own the whole mess, right? It's just like in the Army. Like, at some point, you know, you own everything on the property book because it's been there long enough for you to, you know, look at it. And so I think that's difficult, because, you know, I don't think a lot of team coaches or fan bases have the audacity to do what Deion Sanders did when he came into Colorado, right? Like I don't think you're going to see that at UCLA when the new coach comes in. It's like, hey, you guys got recruited by the last guy, find somewhere else to go play. You know, I don't think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see that in very isolated cases. And I think Deion Sanders is probably the guy that's going to do it in this like 5-year window. Maybe someone else would do it, but I don't foresee it happening. But, you know, the other part that teams that are in trouble are the guys that are in these like really weird spaces that like left a competitive division to go to another very competitive division. So when you look at USC and UCLA, you know, all those guys leaving from the Pac-12 and going to the Big Ten, like that sounded good on paper as far as TV time and recruiting and everything else. But like, if you're, you know, a four and seven team, every year, it's not going to help you. And so all those teams that are leaving, and the team that like I'm really concerned about now is Stanford, because they got stuff going on off the field and in the front office, you know. And like Andrew Luck coming in is like, hey, we got to revamp things. Hey man, Frank Reich was great for the Buffalo Bills about 30 years ago. I don't know how well he's going to pull this nosedive out of Stanford and actually make an impact. Maybe he will, you know, like he's a pro, but when you look at all the guys that are, you know, former pro players that are coaching college football now, they don't have a great track record, you know, to include Deion Sanders, right? Like, he understands the game. He understands name, image, and likeness, but he's not recruiting the type of talent to make, you know, Colorado a world beater. You know,
Harbaugh excluded.
Yeah. Well, but you also got to think, you know, Harbaugh came into a blue blood program that has always been good. And the other piece of it was, is like Michigan had nowhere to go but up.
Well,
right.
He revived a sleeping giant. That's what he did.
Yeah. So,
and that's what people keep waiting to happen with teams like Nebraska. Like when are they? And it's like, I keep thinking it's going to be like 1 year they're going to come out and surprise people, because do you remember what I feared?
Yeah.
Offensive team Nebraska was when they were like, before they joined the Big Ten, it was like when they came to the Big Ten, I thought, man, they're going to compete for a title every year.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing about Penn State too. And it's just, it proves how tough the Big Ten is and why Notre Dame will never be a part of it.
Well, and I think that's part of it.
Take a shot.
Yeah, it's all right. But I think it's twofold. You know, it's like, hey, look,
you've got four games a season.
Yeah. You've got to support your coach 100%. Like, but you also need a guy that can lead the locker room, and the locker room is different. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. And like, you know, unlike the service academies, to jump on that soapbox for a quick second is, you know, there's a sense of purpose there beyond football. So it makes that sell a little bit easier. And, you know, for some of these schools that are like, more academically inclined, that kind of eliminates the talent pool because, like, hey, look, like if I'm a Northwestern or if I'm a Stanford, like my recruiting population gets curbed because I can only get the kids that are academically sound enough to play football. And if a kid's academically sound enough to play football, he's probably got more than, you know, your school as an option. And so that's difficult. I think, you know, NIL is impacting it, but like pulling the trigger early on a coach, you know, I don't know. I'd like to see, you know, some of these guys get a better opportunity, but like, if you're going to make a big, bold move, it's probably better to make that bold move, you know, at the end of the last season rather than three games into the current one, you know, because if you do it like before bowl season, at least you have the entire bowl season to recruit, you know, but if you do it like in week three or week four, now you're trying to recruit with who you have. That coach is going to want a new coaching staff for sure. So now your team is all discombobulated in the front office. Now you're trying to win games. And then, oh, by the way, this guy has a recruit and he doesn't even know if he's going to be the coach at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, so that just makes things more problematic.
To touch on that, if you want to find out what kind of team you have and you know you've got talent, stir up a stink that you're going to fire their coach and maybe they'll do what Alabama did. Because, my God, since Kalen DeBoer was on the hot seat, they have played lights out. And it's like, you know what I mean? Sometimes that'll steal a team together.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we want them. We want them to stay, so we're going to play our asses off for them. And it almost looks like Alabama, this like they're playing to say, hey, man, he's a good coach. We got a good team. And, I mean, they do have a good team. They've proven it now a couple weeks in a row. So it'll be interesting to see if they can make a run. I believe that they can if they can get good play out of Simpson.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So speaking of making a run, who can make a run for your next best mortgage opportunity? We'll pass it over to Dan for the next commercial.
Well, friends, if you've listened to this show before, you know that Craig Oxane is the man who can help you find that mortgage of your dreams after you've already found the house that Jocelyn got you. Friends, Craig is an area sales rep for the Money Store. He is a mortgage broker, as we said, member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can. That's important because this mortgage process is freaking confusing. Interest rates moving all over the place. Economy is insane. It's just not the time to try to deal with some clown who's trying to make a buck off you. You want to deal with somebody who cares, not with a call center minus website, big box bank, whatever. And this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're helping you to get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a giant savings, like $1,300. Save yourself $1,300, guys. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store. He is his link, and so is Jocelyn's, is on our website. They both got little business cards there. Just click on that. You'll be talking to either one of them in a couple of hours. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, so let's move on to the games of the week. So American games of the week this week, you got Charlotte at South Florida, Army at UAB, Air Force at Navy in the first CSC matchup, UTSA at Temple, FAU at Rice, Tulsa at Memphis. Any American Conference games that we really should be looking at? Dano, what are your thoughts?
I think UTSA at Temple is really interesting because UTSA is kind of in the same headspace as Army in the sense that they've maybe underperformed. They have massive talent. Like, that team should be amazing, and instead they're like somewhere in the neighborhood of 500. By the contrast, Temple is, you know, won a few games. They've looked solid, but that's not a team that you would think of as having like a lot of talent. So yeah, I'm really interested to see how that one turns out. Other than that, you know, FAU at Rice, dumpster fire. Tulsa at Memphis. I mean, Memphis is going to kick their ass. And Air Force at Navy. Navy's going to kick their ass. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's go into the week six schedule. Starting on Thursday, the 2nd of October. Dang, we're in October already. Holy crap, man. Like, I don't even know what's going on. You got Sam Houston State at New Mexico State. That should be a good one. That's a bowl game matchup from a couple years ago. That was a shootout. You know, different teams, but that same mentality is probably going to be pretty good. Moving into Friday night, you got Charlotte at USF. So you got American Conference play there. I am going to skip over my pick, so we'll talk about that one a little bit later. You got West Virginia at number 23 BYU. I think West Virginia is in that boat too. Like, they're underperforming. I think Rich Rod's got his work cut out for him. I don't know how long he's going to last at that place. He might get fired early next season if he doesn't turn that ship around quickly. Moving into Saturday, you got a noon kick, Army at UAB. That we've already talked about that one. That will get previewed on the Astro Football Army Football Show. Air Force at Navy, kicking at noon on CBS and Paramount. So the Army game, just quick programming note, is going to be on ESPNU. So if you've got broadcast cable, that's going to be there. You got Illinois at Purdue on the Big Ten Network. Wisconsin at Michigan at noon. That's going to be an interesting contest. I think Wisconsin is, you know, running back you. They're going to come running at you. It just depends on, you know, whether or not the Michigan defense can stop the run. And they've been doing pretty well at that this season. So it should be an interesting contest, at least at that one. Kentucky at Georgia. I mean, everybody thought that Georgia had control of the home turf. So who knows what's going to happen when the Wildcats come to Georgia. It'd be interesting. Got Iowa State at Cincinnati. We'll see if Rocco Beck can keep moving forward in his Heisman campaign. That guy's quietly putting together probably one of the best seasons of a quarterback in a while. UTSA at Temple, as Dano mentioned. Here's one for the home crowd. Campbell at NC State. So that's going to be a Fuqua Farina kicking off at 2 o'clock on the ACC Network or ESPN Plus. That'll be an interesting contest for those of you that like the local stuff here in North Carolina. You got Vandy at Bama. After Bama's performance against Georgia, this becomes a much more compelling contest. Diego Pavia is quietly putting together one of the best seasons as a quarterback in the SEC against Bama. That should be a good one. And you know, you go to Tuscaloosa and try and get a win, that's always tough, but Vandy has done it before. That's starting to become a trend for them. But I think based off of the way that Bama played Georgia, who knows what's going to happen. I got Texas at Florida, 3:30 on ESPN. You got Penn State against UCLA. Penn State should go in there and roll them. If they don't, like, there's going to be talk, you know, hey, is there a hangover from playing against Oregon, you know, or whatever.
I like UCLA to cover that 26.5. I think Penn State has a bit of a hangover game.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable for that to happen.
I can see them winning that 28-14.
Yeah, for sure. You got Boise State at Notre Dame. I mean, do we care? Like, Notre Dame's schedule is like a mixed bag of like people that they should be able to beat up on, and they just don't perform. And it's kind of starting to get frustrating. They need to join a conference. You got Kent State at Oklahoma. Like, if the Sooners get past Kent State, you know, that buys them a little bit more time for QB1 to heal up, but we'll see what happens. You got Florida Atlantic at Rice, which we mentioned, Minnesota at Ohio State. Like, if they were playing in Minnesota, I would give them, you know, a chance to kind of keep it close, but like in the shoe, you know, they're going to be rowing the boat right back to Minnesota. Mississippi State takes on number 6 Texas A&M on the SEC Network at 7:30. Miami at Florida State. That's going to be your primetime matchup on ABC. Like, again, that was a game that used to not be interesting and is now interesting again based off of their play. Florida State's going to be a little bit PO'd because they lost to Virginia, so I think that'll be a much better contest. And the nightcap is going to be Nevada at Fresno State, which is bonkers. I mean, both of those teams are you know, struggling to field a team of merit. But we'll see what's going on as we move into our
Weekly Locks.
Weekly Locks. All right, guys. What do we have this week? We'll start with Joe. Go to Dano, and I'll round it out.
Well, it was bound to happen, but unfortunately, for the first time since 23, I posted a goose egg at Syracuse, Arkansas, and Georgia. Enough said. Two teams got mud holes stomped in them, and one team got stopped on fourth down to lose at home. Crazy how my three picks didn't correlate with my weekend on FanDuel and DraftKings, but oh well. I'm cleared hot and firing three picks until they give me four. First pick, SDSU, San Diego State -5.5 against Colorado State at home. This Aztec team has outscored their opponents in the last 2 weeks 40-6, and one of those was against Cal, where they won 34-0, proving that this defense is for real, and I think Colorado State has a really hard time against them. Give me SDSU -5.5 in a game they win maybe 17-6. Number two is Maryland, +6.5 at home against Washington. Yes, that's correct. The undefeated Maryland Terrapins are almost a touchdown underdog to the Washington Huskies, who just lost by 3 scores at home. Got it? Give me the Terrapins. I know it was against Ohio State, but the spread was under 10, and they lost by 2 touchdowns. You're telling me after they're going to travel from Washington to Maryland to beat a team that has not lost by a touchdown, I'll take that bet. Give me the Terrapins to lose a thriller 31-28, but cover. And number three, I'm going with Michigan. I've seen what Wisconsin can do, and they're going to be soft against this running attack. So give me Michigan minus 16.5. Wisconsin just lost at home by 17 to Maryland. Michigan just went on the road and handled Nebraska pretty well. They were never in danger of losing that game. Wisconsin has turnover problems at quarterback, and Michigan does not. Michigan has a ground game they can pretty much impose on anyone, and a defense that can make a turnover-prone quarterback make mistakes. So I think Michigan rolls and makes a statement against a Big Ten foe. Give me them with the minus 16.5. I think Michigan wins 38-13.
All right. Sounds good. Dano, how about you?
Well, 1-2 again this week. I should just start picking two games again because at least then I was 500. But, you know, when Notre Dame easily covered at Arkansas, I felt good because not only did I talk you guys out of taking that pick, but also I think that was like half the show last week was arguing about that game. And I thought I was in. I thought I was going 3-0 easily.
He's running the temperature and he's here. We deserve this.
Duke destroyed Syracuse. Like, what the hell is that? What the, I mean, that was insane.
Yeah, I don't think anybody.
Syracuse starting quarterback was hurt. Well, that's the problem in college. Sometimes those injury reports don't come out.
Well, anyway, you should have known when the line moved like crazy. And then Navy beat Rice 21-13. That's pretty much the opposite of what I thought would happen. I figured that either we'd have a close game, a pretty high score, or else Navy would just run away with it. And instead, you know, both teams just kind of muddled through. So. Okay, so this week, give me Iowa State plus 1.5 at Cincinnati. Like, that's wild. A line like open that with the Cyclones giving just over a field goal, and I don't know what's changed, so maybe we're going to be surprised again because somebody's hurt, but Iowa State has the best team in the Big 12. You know, and what's his name? Bronco?
Rocco Becht.
He's the best quarterback. He might be one of the best quarterbacks in college football this year. Navy minus 11.5 at home versus Air Force. Dude, that Zumi defense is not good at all. I mean, they are not good at all. And Navy's defense is excellent. And Navy just all the way around is a very good team. So, yeah, that's bad. That's really bad to take a bad defense on the road like that. And finally, Memphis minus 19.5 at home against Tulsa. Dude, the Tigers are astronomically better than Tulsa. And 20 points isn't enough that you can afford to lay off the gas on a home game that you absolutely need to host the American Championship on your home field advantage. So, yeah, I feel good about that one.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so for me, I went 1-2 this week, which sucks. But Virginia upset Florida State. You know, I was hoping for that outright upset because it was like 1.5. TCU lost by a field goal, which, you know, basically broke it by a hook. Was a point and a hook, and then North Texas didn't score their normal 47 that they always score to bust the over on that game. This week, I'm taking Western Kentucky to cover 2.5 against Delaware. Both of these teams have been up and down this season. I like the Hilltoppers in this one. I think this one might even go into overtime, and that's where they'll get the edge. Take the under of 48.5 between Georgia and Kentucky. Kentucky will not score on the Georgia, you know, not scoring the Georgia defense, even though the running game is good. It's not as impressive as it's been in previous season. I'm saying 28-10, but I have no faith in the Bulldogs anymore. Their offense is struggling. Their defense looks okay, but has not been lights out at all this season. And then take UNC to cover 13.5 against Clemson. Clemson hasn't beaten anyone this season by more than 11 points. Why start now? You know, like, let's just be honest here.
Nice.
Like, Dabo has a problem with offense right now. Cade Klubnik was supposed to be like shredding defenses right now, and he's just not doing it. Like, both with his legs and his arm, haven't seen it. And looking forward to seeing, you know, hopefully that game will be close. I mean, Bill Belichick needs it because he might be one of those coaches getting walking papers here early in the season if he doesn't turn this thing around at all. But, yeah. Omar's picks are going to be in the Firsty Club, so if you are a member of the Firsty Club, look for his weekly locks there.
He has been excellent this season.
Yeah. Omar's been crushing everybody. He's out far, like he's a whole freaking couple body lengths on the horse track on everybody right now in the picks league. Anyway, time for the closeout. Got a quick favorite thing. So I was out of town this week with the fam in Orlando. Got to go see the opening of Epic Universe. So we got to hang out at the new park in Orlando. Kind of neat things to see, but you know what? Damn it, I am glad to be home. I'll be happy to watch college football from the couch in my hacienda this week. Hey, I put a little something together in the off season. Of course, Dan and I are batting around ideas about off season coverage of just like travel and, you know, the Ask for Football lifestyle section, if you prefer. And we're going to start talking about some, you know, just some of the things that we do on our summer vacation when we're not watching college football.
Hey, it's going to be super manly. We're going to be talking about wineries in Connecticut.
Yeah. Hey, that's all right. You know, hey, at some point,
we're going to build an engine and shoot guns.
Yeah. You know,
and eat bacon.
And at some point, somebody's going to say, hold my beer and watch this, or hold my wine, my Prosecco and watch this. You know?
More people would enjoy it if they could afford it. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. That's fair.
Sure. Hey, look, I'm not knocking it.
Yeah, but either way, if you guys want to know more about my Epic Universe trip, I'll probably do a photo drop on the socials here as well, just so you can see some of the ins and outs of the place. I thought it was super cool. Great week with the fam. Anyway, we're going to wrap the show up so we can give Dano and the rest of the team a break before they roll into the Ask Football Army Football Show, which will be coming to you in about 50 minutes. So if you are not behind the paywall, you better get yourself right and you can jump in and have an opportunity to check it out. And like, hey, look, if you're listening to the College Football Roundtable and you just want to check out the Army Football Show, you don't have to be an Army fan, but there is an option for you just to purchase a single opportunity, a one-off of the show, and you can jump in and listen and see how we break down Army football, because we don't we do typically a much deeper dive into the Army football team and the contest that they're going into each week. Anyway, for the crew here at the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable, or you want to call it Ring Knocker Radio, I'm Rob, the Angry Colonel, calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe from the home of the Big House. Thanks, you guys, for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you next time. And as always, beat UAB.
Beat them, for the love of God.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.